Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us today for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And if you've never heard that before, I always offer the disclaimer, probably more than I need to. We got a great show planned for you today. And I was telling our KTTH listeners, the OG Know Your Risk Radio listeners, I was telling them that I came back fired up. I've been down in the desert with the wife, little 5-day getaway down to the Phoenix area, and had a blast, got some good rest and relaxation. I came fired up, you know, and reading a lot of news, had a good time, relaxed, but, you know, it just allows you to formulate your thoughts. And the other thing that I was saying to that, to the KTTH audience was it sure was nice to catch your breath. First time we'd been away since the whole COVID thing happened. If you guys haven't done that, I suggest going to do that. It helps you feel more normal, right? You get back to more leisure. I think that we've all been locked on this kind of, like, you know, rat wheel, if you will, over the last 6 months. Like, what's happened? Are we open? It was just nice to go somewhere. It was odd being in an empty airport and an empty airplane, but it was comfortable. So, but anyway, I suggest you guys get out there and just, even if it's driving somewhere, just go get out. It was nice. It felt like a mental reset. Came back with some clarity that I hadn't had in a while. And calm, more calm. So, you know, for all the reasons we should take vacations, I would strongly suggest it now. But anyway, have a great show planned for you. Also, later in the show, it's not going to be on the air very long, so you can always subscribe to the podcast. I have so many people tell all the time, man, I hate that I miss your show. Or I missed it this weekend. I even had a buddy of mine say that. I missed it because, you know, and I go, guys, it's on podcast. And I don't say that because I think that everybody else out there is dying to listen to the show. I say it because I know some people are. And I also say it because, you know, it's an hour-long radio program. With the interview, it's an hour and a half. And, you know, whether it's driving or commuting or sitting on a plane, we've all got an hour and a half to burn sometimes. Now, I hope the show is more of a priority to you. You get more value from that. But I don't, you know, you don't need to sit by the radio and wait for it to come on Saturday afternoon. Just, again, Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher. Stitcher's a popular podcast site. Our page will come right up, and you just subscribe to it. You can go to mynorthwest.com. So you don't need to miss an episode. Maybe you want to, but you don't need to. So anyway, had a lot of time to formulate what we want to talk about, and there was a lot of stuff that happened in the last week, a lot of developments. But before we get into that, and I think I don't want to downplay this, but it's a risk that I want everybody to know, and I think it sets up for the rest of the market update really well. So it's a serious story, but it's pertinent. A friend of a friend of mine, I don't know the guy, I've crossed paths with him a few times, but don't know the guy, and he's a money manager out of Chicago, mid-30s, sharp guy, value investor, so you guys know me in value. And he had a tragedy happen a week ago. And his name is Bill Brewster. I don't think he would mind me sharing that at all. And you can look him up on Twitter. His Twitter, Bill Brewster Chicago, or Google, rather. Late last week, he got a call. He was on a family vacation and got a call on his cell phone from members of his wife's family and got just horrible news that his wife's 20-year-old cousin had committed suicide. And the suicide note read that, you know, the reason that he was that despondent and killed himself was because his Robinhood trading account, for those of you who don't know, Robinhood is a very popular app, especially with the younger generation, for trading stocks and options and all that kind of stuff. This is not a beat on Robinhood segment. I know there's a lot of parents and grandparents that listen to this show, and I want to issue a warning. Through the insanity of markets over the last 6 months, and people go, oh, it's the last 6 months. I thought it was the last 2 or 3 months. That's when it became rampant. But we've been watching this happen over the last, so the last half of last year, where the retail exuberance in the stock market, and look, guys, you can't, this isn't a technical issue. You can't pin a thing on it, because one of the things I don't think people understand about markets is that, at least for short periods of time, and when I say short, I mean short in terms of the long run, right? I mean, you know, we can see these conditions last for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And it's typical at the end of long bull markets. So this is the longest bull market of all time. So that the timing of it makes sense. But like I said, we saw this germinating, and we talked about it on the show. We saw it germinating late last year, where the interest in for the retail investor into stock markets really started picking up to a level that I had not seen in my career, that was literally only comparable. And it wasn't as crazy, not in the last 6 months last year, but it was really only comparable to 1999, when everybody and their mother was day trading, all that kind of stuff. And when coronavirus hit, I just kind of, you kind of duck your shoulders and kind of scrunch up, because you realize that, oh no, once again, you know, the most vulnerable and most uneducated investors, and I don't mean that as a slight at all, but they always get sucked in at the wrong time. Then the Fed comes out and backstops this whole thing, and the market takes off again, right? And that's where you saw an explosion. And you can see it on trading platforms. You can see it on the data that Robinhood issues, that retail trading accounts just exploded. You know, people would be like, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. It's never one thing. We've talked about this on the show. I think it's a combination of stimulus money. I think it's a combination of boredom. I think it's a combination of the longest bull market in U.S. history. I think it's a combination of the biggest rise in stocks over a 50-day period of time in the history of markets. I think it's a combination of a lot of story stocks out there that have run big over the last decade. And I also think it is a false sense of security that the Federal Reserve, and in time, the Federal Reserve will be blamed for what they did. And it will be probably after there's a big market crash. And it will be seen that they sponsored so much of this. They sponsored so much irresponsibility and so much recklessness in markets. And people are going to pay a price. They always do. But getting back to the story of Bill Brewster and the tragedy that surrounded his family, he had an account value of around $15,000 or $16,000, the young man that took his own life. And there was a story about it on CNBC too. And he was buying and selling options, which again, you know, I would encourage everybody out there, if you haven't taken formal training on options, just don't mess with it. They're so much more complicated than you think. We use them extraordinarily sparingly, but there's just so much about them, so many hidden risks. And then people think futures are options and they're not. Futures have a whole nother host of risks and issues with them that young investors or, you know, uninformed investors don't understand. And guys, also keep in mind, you're competing against the best and brightest in the world. And I'm not saying you don't have the capability to do it, but what everybody does, and there's been a lot of psychological studies on this, what everybody does is assumes that they know more than they do. When you're playing with money, when you're playing with retirement money, that's not a place you want to be. So anyway, this kid got involved in trading options, and all of a sudden he opens his account and sees he's got a $15,000-$16,000 account. He opens his account and sees that he has a negative $730,000 balance. And unfortunately, that was enough to tilt him over the edge. He didn't know what mistake he had made. He didn't know why he had lost that much money, and he took his own life. Double dose of tragedy is it wasn't real. They have this weird thing on Robin, and I heard the explanation for it. And again, I've been doing this for a long time. It made no sense to me. Apparently, it's a glitch on their server where it shows the maximum. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. I haven't dug into Robinhood, but it shows the maximum notional exposure of all of your options at times, like at the end of the month, at option expiry, something like that. Anyway, it's a glitch. It's a weird deal. And it's a retail trading platform. And I've heard other people say they've seen these things last as long as an entire weekend, where they show this massive negative balance in the portfolio, even though it's not. Anyway, long story short, and there have been tons of other stories. Guys, this has caught the imagination of even people as young as 10 years old. Everybody's involved in this market to a level that we have never seen, at least not since the 90s. And even in the late 90s, you didn't have 11-year-olds on their mobile phones trading stocks on Robinhood. Okay, so this is, guys, this is a bubble. Okay, and everybody's like, oh, Zach, you're always negative. No, it's reality. Look, it's reality. When you see stocks like Hertz going bankrupt and then their stock rallying 750% or something like that, whatever it did, people are going to get run over. And it's not just the run over that we need to worry about. Check with your kids. Make sure they're not doing something stupid on Robinhood. Make sure, and I'm sure his family, the worst thing is not that he loses a ton of money, right? The worst thing is what happened to Bill Brewster's family. So keep that in mind. And that's going to kind of take us into the rest of the market update. Because I'll tell you what, I spent some time, and God bless that family. I don't mean to make this sound trite or gloss over this too quick. It was just one of those moments where you read it and you go, man, you forget sometimes that this isn't just numbers. There's real lives behind here. And, it's hard to, again, you have inexperienced investors. How are they going to deal with it? It's just, they've turned the bloody market into a casino and how it's going to end. Anyway, so I was spending some time down in Phoenix and reflecting and I came to a realization that I hadn't really thought about before, meaning that I think the last 6 months, I'd previously thought hands down it was either the period of, well, it was probably the period of, late 2007 till about August of 2008 that was really hard, because I was convinced that real estate was going to implode and the market was going to come down, and it just wasn't. And it made you really question yourself. You're like, how can I see this so clearly? And yet, the market doesn't seem to care. At the time, I thought that was probably one of the hardest periods of my career. I actually think now what takes the cake is the last 6 months. A, because of the violence and the level of intensity it took to navigate that, especially to come through it. And I'm not bragging, but to come through it as clean as we did. The other side of it is the aftermath, this run up. Now, we have not been short. I've got a lot of our clients out there listening. We have not been short. It wasn't like we got burned. I'm not crying over spilt milk. We're actually doing just decent on the year, especially compared to everybody else and the major averages. And, it's a good year. But it has been the hardest of my career, the last 2 to 3 months, 4 months. Because as somebody that has spent so much time studying and devoted so much of their life to this, watching markets completely detach from reality and watching the Fed take away even the last semblance of free markets, especially from the bond market, and watching the government intervention and how it's just become commonplace, and watching the distortions it's made, there's a simplistic beauty to markets, guys, and I don't want to get too esoteric about this, but there's a simple beauty to markets because the number one job of a market is something that we call price discovery. The reason free market capitalism works so well is that nobody can dictate, and the participants involved are often the participants that know the most and have the most to win or lose, and there's no better way to price assets. It's, I've compared it before to statistical analysis, right? We all know this. If we want to take a poll, how do we make the poll more accurate? We poll more people and in more geographic locations. And when you look at equity markets and bond markets here in the United States, they're the biggest markets on the face of the earth. That and the dollar market, right? Which means they should be the most accurate. There's an accuracy. There's a trust that you learn to have in markets where you know that they can be wrong, but you know that the majority of time they're right. Then you see what's happened over the last 4 months, and it's a breakdown in the attachment of or the attachment that asset prices have to reality. And we've seen this for short periods of time, but one of the things I brought up is when we compare this current cycle to 1999, we need to remember that in 1999, the economy grew by 4%. 4%. So those are conditions in a lot of ways that justify a bubble. What's odd about this is that now the new record highs in markets, S&P and Dow aren't quite there, but they're knocking on the door. NASDAQ is at new all-time highs. A lot of the market leaders are all at new all-time highs, right? Everybody knows that. But what's unique about this period of time is that it's happened during the greatest economic crisis in the United States. And so some people out there cheer the fact that the Fed stabilized the market. That's not what they did. They destabilized the market. A stable market is one that has accurate pricing. A stable market is one that has accurate price discovery, where that mechanism of price discovery is not retarded. Right? We all have this, well, we stabilized it. And you go, wait a second, pushing a market back to all-time highs, coming off of all-time highs, going through in the midst of the greatest economic crisis in history that there are no historical comps from, coming from a period of time of record corporate profits, record debt levels. What reality, what printing mechanism, what could you do to justify current price levels? The answer is nothing. It's a bubble. And they've created a bubble. What happens to bubbles? They pop. And this will happen the same way. And one of the reasons I wanted to come with this for the market update is I've been a little bit sheepish. I've been a little bit sheepish because despite us coming through it just fine and having a decent year and all that kind of stuff, you know, we really try to get things right on this show. I really want to give you, that's why we're not making calls every other day. Oh, the market next week is going up. Just because, look, there's a level of ambiguity that this game has to it. And that if anybody tries to say it doesn't, I run the other way. Okay. Because they're either lying to you or they're trying to defraud you or they don't know what they're talking about. It just does. And you want to be careful. And, you know, when markets are doing things like they have over the last 4 months, you go through all kinds of different thought process. You go through, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everything I know about economics is a farce. Maybe debt doesn't, you know, you have to entertain these thoughts. And I've said it on the show before, when you do this for a living, you realize that A, you're going to be wrong at times. And that B, it's never fun. Nobody wants to be wrong. Then you come up against situations like this, which, you know, are you wrong about the movement in stock prices over the short term? Yeah. I mean, we were expecting a bear market rally. We were expecting a bounce. We've said as much. Did we think stocks would? No, it seemed like a bridge too far that stocks could get back to all-time highs or even really close to it. But I can assure you guys, I thought about it and I felt more emboldened after the vacation where I went, you know what? No, you know what the truth is. You know what the truth is. And we've gotten, I don't want to call it hate mail, but we've gotten calls. We're getting calls from people that are ticked off that say I'm too negative. Got letters, people saying I'm too negative and I don't know what I'm looking at. Let me just say something here. I don't really ever think of it as being negative or positive. Again, when you do this for a living and you manage as much money as we do, your job is to get it right. And it's when you get dug into these bunkers of, you know, right or wrong, and you refuse to move, that's where you get hurt. And you have to go into everything expecting, hey, I could be wrong. What am I going to do if I'm wrong? Right? That's not the case here. The economic data we are seeing set up fits exactly into what we thought was happening. You're just watching a market run amok. You're watching a market that is completely divorced from any sense of reality. And I felt more emboldened where I sat there and I went, no, you need to stick to your guns. You need to stick to your guns and A, to educate people, but B, to advocate your process, right? Because our clients aren't the ones freaking out. They know that they've got protection. They know that they've got a risk managed portfolio. And it's not just, guys, this isn't just advertisement. This isn't just boilerplate. There's a better way to do it. There's a way that you can participate to this upside without taking all this risk. Because does the piper get paid, guys? Do you believe the bill comes due? Do you believe that? If you do, what are you doing still sitting in the same stock portfolio? Right? If you kick yourself and go, how didn't I see the bubble in real estate? Well, do you see the bubble now? And if you don't, that's probably the answer why you didn't see it in real estate. Okay. When you see overexuberance, when you see people acting like they can't lose, when you see people betting the house on stocks that are in bankruptcy, when you see 10-year-olds swamping up trading platforms, I mean, how much more bubbly sign do you need? And then look how your portfolio performed in the first half of this year. I think eventually that this run-up we have seen, this rally, now I've told you, I fully expect it to go to new all-time highs. I could be wrong there too. But I'll tell you what, in time, I think history will look back at this and say, what a gift investors were given. They were given a warning, the fastest 30% drop of all time, then a rally back to highs. It gave them the opportunity to put their portfolio in the right place. It gave them the opportunity to see the potential downside and to assume a risk management position. And so many didn't. Because people make change at the realization of pain, not at the anticipation of pain. There's a better way, guys. You need to wake up. You need to look at it, apply your horse sense, and admit this doesn't make any sense. This shouldn't be happening. And we'll get into specifics about why it shouldn't. But just, guys, get a risk management strategy. Call us. Figure out how we're lowering risk, increasing upside, and lowering fees at the same time. God, it's just a better way to do it, guys. Those portfolios that we had at the beginning of the year when the market's down 36%, our average client was down 6 to 8. Now they're up on the year overall. It just, there's a better way. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. If you want to set up a phone consultation, you could do that online. You can email us. You can call us. We can do a consultation over email if the phone's uncomfortable. And sign up for the podcast, Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher. Google it. Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Google that. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with an extension of the market update, and then we'll get into the rest of our content for the show. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. Thursday, July 9th at 3 p.m., right after the big show, I'll be joining Brian Ott with 525 Advisors for his live webinar. You'll learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by Brian and 525 Advisors. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It allows you to stay in control of your care options, and most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me Thursday, July 9th at 3 p.m. I'll kick things off and share my long-term care story. Make sure to reserve your spot today at 525longtermcare.com. Brian keeps the class size small for a great learning environment. Space is limited. It's all free, and I'll be part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you guys for sticking with us. Kind of a long preamble there, which is not rare. If you tune into the show very often, it's not rare. I have a tendency to get rolling, especially if I've been out of town for 5 days, right? It gives me, my wife says that's a dangerous amount of time. It gives me more time to think. Anyway, so wanted to continue on with the market update segment. A lot of fascinating things came up in my reading and my vacation time. First of all, I think analyst upgrades are starting to drive something. We saw before we get into this, once again, just like we don't speak ill of other firms, just like we don't speak ill of other advisors, I'm not going to beat up any particular analysts. What I will tell you is keep in mind when you're reading analyst reports, there's so much more to it than meets the eye. The average analyst is an ad executive on Wall Street. The average analyst, there are so many other reasons why analysts will issue buy reports. First of all, it's a competitive business, meaning that they want to be the ones that are most right. So when stocks run up really big, even if those stocks run up bigger than what that analyst thought it would, even if he was bullish, that stock analyst then a lot of times is tempted or forced to in other ways professionally to raise that price target, right? He wants to continue that winning streak. And I saw a really interesting analyst report on a company called Shopify. We've talked about it on the show before. Good company. Now, when I say a good company, remember, when I talk about the valuation of a security or the valuation of a stock, that's not the same as talking about a company. Do I think they're a good company? Yes. Would I pay anywhere close to the price of their stock is currently trading at? No. And I'll explain to you why. Guy comes out, Shopify's hit new highs. One of the analysts comes out, I think it was from RBC, and issues a new buy on it and takes the price target up to $1,200 or something crazy like that. And he says that people are still not building in enough potential, right? People are still not counting on the potential, and he's comparing it to Amazon and all these things. First of all, on the face of it, let me take some mystery out of this for you. A company like Shopify is going to look really good until the day it doesn't, period. Okay. And so a lot of people out there are going to watch every uptick it takes, and they're going to think guys like me are wrong. Just wait. Just wait. They're like, how do you know for sure? Well, let me explain it to you real quick. If you look at 2016, Shopify's numbers, in 2016, Shopify grew at a 75% annual clip. Their revenue grew by 75%. Pretty crazy, right? Amazing growth. Now, as of this year, they're growing at a clip of like 30, 31%, something like that. Maybe it's as high as 35. Don't quote me. I just added this part to the, but anyway, in the 30s, the growth rate is more than cut in half. And during that period of time, the multiple, the valuation on the stock has gone ballistic. You're looking at a company right now that on the trailing 12-month basis, looking at the amount of revenue, now they lose money. So I'm not talking profit. Okay. They're not a money-making enterprise. I'm not talking profit. I'm talking revenue. Total revenue they bring in is about $2 billion a year. And I think right now they're trading at like a $90, $95 billion market cap. It's pure madness. And this guy is upping his price target on it. And I think that's another thing feeding into this is that A, first of all, you've got younger stock analysts. Market cap, excuse me, is at $103 billion. They are trading at 50 times, over 50 times revenue. It's one of the most expensive stocks I've ever seen in my career. I've never seen one quite like it. Not that's losing money, not at that multiple. I mean, we thought 10 to 15 times revenue was crazy in 99. This is just another deal. But look, you're going to keep watching the analysts up the price target because they're not looking at the valuation game. They're trying to be the lead analyst. They want to get attention for their calls. The other things is a lot of these analysts are young, meaning that they've only been doing this for 10 years or so. All they've seen is a bull market. They're used to all these metrics they look at that work during a bull market. They're used to them being consistent. They're not paying attention to the absolute valuation. What I am telling you is that maybe Shopify becomes a $500 billion market cap company. Maybe they do at some point. I don't know. What I will tell you is that if you are paying 50 times revenue for this thing, give it time and you'll be able to buy it cheaper if you like it. Okay, that's how nuts the valuation is. It's absurd. And the analysts are going to keep running it up. Watch. Okay, the other thing, I had a TV interview on Yahoo Finance yesterday, and they want to talk about the jobs numbers, the economic progress. Listen, again, leave your politics out of it. Okay, investing is hard enough, let alone when you have to square it with investing. And the reason I say that is there are people on both sides right now that I see people on the left that are like, oh, it's going to collapse because they hate Trump and they just don't want Trump to get reelected. Then I see people on the right, as long as Trump gets reelected, this thing's going to the moon. Guys, a president has far less control over an economy than either side is giving him credit for. Okay, let's just and second of all, just take a step back, quit sipping the Kool-Aid on either side of it, and let's try to look at this analytically. Okay, let's look at the data. Okay. And one of the things I said to them, they wanted to ask me about the bad jobs number because the bad jobs number came out yesterday. And I said, look, I think as much about the bad jobs number as I do the quote unquote good jobs number. Well, I think I said this on previous week's deal. A lot of people were celebrating the jobs number. We sent out a client letter to our clients explaining what had really happened. You lost about 38.5 to 40 million jobs in total, and then you had a job report coming back saying 2.5 million jobs. I heard, and this isn't a knock on him, okay, but I heard Sean Hannity going, the greatest month of job growth ever. It's a record. Okay, guys, once again, let's understand statistical analysis. During the second quarter of this year, you shut the economy down. GDP took a 50% hit in a quarter. Okay, that wasn't real. It was because you shut the economy down. The minute you turn the economy back on, we expected you're going to see the greatest quarter of GDP growth. You might even see two of them in a row with Q3 and Q4. And the reason why is the economy's never been shut off before. If you turn it back on, just the act of turning it back on is going to, right? It's as artificial and as violent as the downturn was. The action coming back because it's turned back on, because people can walk to a corner store and buy a sandwich for crying out loud, right? Those numbers are going to look incredible. But the thing that they're not going to show is what are we trying to get back to? And remember, there's people like, well, what if we have a 90% bounce back? If you have a 90% bounce back, it means your economy still shrank by 10%. Which is a number that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. So it's not that I think, and this gets into my point about being negative. I'm not being negative. We're being realistic. If you think that you have a V-shaped recovery that's going to bounce back in a matter of 6 months, I don't know what to tell you. You're either looking it through partisan lens or you're trying to see what you want to see, or you just don't know what you're talking about. You cannot have that type of freeze. You've got companies like Hertz in bankruptcy, JCPenney's. People are like, oh, those are old companies. Think about all the gyms that are going to close, guys, that have already. Think about the small businesses and the restaurants. Take the idea of a V. Now, it's going to look V-shaped, and that's the way it's going to get played up. And you're going to hear the tweets, and oh, greatest quarter of economic growth. We've been telling you this for months. It's one of the reasons that we think it can run to all-time highs, because everybody's just sucking up this narrative. How do we know everybody's sucking it up? Look at the attention and the market reaction to the quote-unquote great jobs number that posted last week, that the Bureau of Labor Statistics came out an hour after the numbers were released and said the numbers aren't right. I've talked to countless people that go, well, yeah, but look at the jobs number last week. And I go, did you not follow up on that? Did you not hear the BLS come out an hour after those numbers were released and say that they're not accurate? Then you see a number come out this year, this week, 1.5 million new unemployed. Guys, think about that. We're in the recovery and you're still losing 1.5 million jobs in a week. During the Great Recession, I think your worst ever weekly loss of jobs was 880,000. We're in June and we're printing 1.5 million lost jobs. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a Great Depression. What I'm saying is the stock market is completely detached from reality. And even though I don't want to be wrong, even though I recognize that all this fake money that's created, all this liquidity that's been poured into the system, with that and the false narrative that's driving everything, this could go much higher. That was one of the things I realized down on vacation. I went, stick to your guns. You know what's going to happen. People are going to get hurt. Give them a heads up. And if they do what you're telling them to do, if they have a risk managed portfolio, they're going to be fine either way. That's the other thing I just don't understand. All you guys out there, so many of you that listen to the show, people that have logged into the webinar, people that have come to our roadshows before, that liked what they heard and yet still haven't pushed a button. Are you going to wait until you're down another 30%? And then from there, what are you going to do? Well, bounce back last time. It's just, so I just came back with a renewed vigor and said, you know what? I'm going to beat the drum. I'm going to tell people what's going on because they're not hearing it anywhere. You get the slanted view from the right, you get the slanted view from the left, and it's all surrounded by political will, meaning what they want to happen, right? Their political aspirations. And the minute that comes into finance, tune it out. Can government have an impact? Yes, of course it can. Is it a single driver? Is it anywhere near as have the magnitude of force that we give it credit for? Not even close. It's like thinking, oh, this president's going to fix it. Guys, the president doesn't have that much impact on an economy. And I'm not dogging anyone. This isn't a political show. I'm not making a political statement. I'm making a rational, fact-based statement. And the reason, and then this requires a little insight. This requires a little introspection here. The reason that so many of you aren't doing anything or haven't changed yet, it's not because you're making a rational decision to. Something in your head is telling you that this doesn't seem right. How can this be possible? How can you have the greatest economic shock? And everybody's like, well, we're coming back. You don't come back from it, guys. It takes years. Businesses went out of business. It's not a matter of them opening their door and hiring people back again. It's a matter of their personal balance sheet healing, them getting their finances worked out, and then deciding if they want to make another go of it. The gap between reality and what's happening in markets here could not be any larger. Now, another one really quick, and I'm getting pressed for a break here, but really quick, I want to fit this one in too. Jeremy Grantham came out. Jeremy, I believe now, Mr. Grantham, is in his 70s. He's led a company called GMO. And incredible track record. The guy, his firm called the 1987 crash, did really well during that. They again called the 99 crash, and they again called the real estate crash. They made good money during every single one of those crashes. And he came out and did an interview this week where he said that this is the fourth big market event of my life. And the interviewer was like, oh, the run-up? And he goes, no, this disconnection between reality and prices. And he's another guy that got me refired up and reinvigorated to beat the drums because he said, listen, it's not how this ends. We know how this ends. It's just when. He goes, it ends the same way it always does. It's going to end in tears. A lot of people are going to get run over. And smart, disciplined investors will probably make a lot of money off of it. And he just said, you've got the highest. And he goes, we are much more bearish. We are much more concerned about the market today than we were at the lows in March 23rd. And he went on to say what we've talked about. He went on to say, look, in March 23rd, we were actually slightly encouraged because we saw an extraordinarily expensive stock market, even prior to COVID. We saw an extraordinarily expensive stock market starting to come back to reality. It was starting to make sense. Then he goes, this blast off happened. And he goes, it's the greatest bubble I've seen in my career. And he goes, you might have had nominal prices in some ways that were higher in 99. But he goes, look at the economic backdrop. He made the same argument that we did. And he goes, look, I don't know when. And he goes, but, you know, it's very clear to us that the game that we need to be playing right now is patience and discipline. Because we know what's going to happen. And the sad thing is if we're honest and introspective about it, the reason that you're not having that response is greed. Fear of missing out. Hardest thing in investing to do is sit by and watch your neighbor get rich and not participate in it. And ironically, that's why we all get run over. We get bullish at precisely the wrong times. Again, think about it. One of the games I like to play in investing is go 10 years in the future and look back on it and use that perspective and think, is this a good decision? You look back into it, going into this year, you had record valuations on 8 out of 10 different valuation metrics, highest corporate profits in history, and economic activity slowing. I don't care what anybody says, 2019, economic activity was slowing. It looked like the top. You go back and look at the data, it was. Now everybody's blaming it on coronavirus. Okay, is coronavirus the bigger story? Yes. But this idea that we had this raging strong economy beforehand, it's not true. It was good compared to everybody else in the world, but it was weakening. Then you have the biggest crisis in U.S. history hit. Drive stocks down by a record amount. Fed comes out and stocks are back to all-time highs, back to where they were when they were already the second most overvalued stock market in U.S. history, or first in a lot of metrics. So what you're witnessing, without a doubt, is the greatest separation between fundamentals and stock prices in history. And the sad thing is that most of you aren't going to do anything about it. But for those of you that are, guys, there's a better way. Right? Last year, and I can't get into specifics about performance on the air, and if you want to talk to him, you can. But last year, we had a phenomenal year. We blew away the traditional stock bond portfolio. Overall, if you look at all of our accounts, there was obviously segments that didn't do that great. Our value investing portfolio had a nice year, but value had a really bad performance year compared to growth. So that was down, you know, wasn't as good as the market. But the other parts of the portfolio did phenomenal. Our algorithmic portfolio was off out of this world. Fixed index annuities had a good year. Everything did. We beat the average 60-40 stock bond portfolio, and we did it with a fraction of the risk and cheaper and less expenses. Then this year, average stock bond portfolio is down 20 to 25. Our average client was down 6 to 8. Paying less fees, more upside. There's a better way to do it. Don't call me when you're down 40 or 50%, God forbid. Call us now. Markets are at all-time highs. You're getting a reprieve. You're getting a second chance. Seize it, guys. It's not just us trying to get your business. If you listen to the show long enough, you should know that. We don't do interviews trying to get your business. We do interviews to educate and to warn you. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Sign up for the podcast. Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher. Anyway, we got to get rolling. I've gone over again. We'll be right back with an extension of the market update, and then we'll get into the rest of our content for the show. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. Thursday, July 9th at 3 p.m., right after the big show, I'll be joining Brian Ott with 525 Advisors for his live webinar. You'll learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by Brian and 525 Advisors. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It allows you to stay in control of your care options, and most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me Thursday, July 9th at 3 p.m. I'll kick things off and share my long-term care story. Make sure to reserve your spot today at 525longtermcare.com. Brian keeps the class size small for a great learning environment. Space is limited. It's all free, and I'll be part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And we're not back the way I want to be. If you hear some annoyance coming in my voice, it's because the entire final segment, the whole interview we were going to do, just got erased. So you got to love technology. We'll get that back to you. I'm going to get TC, the name of the guy that we were interviewing. I'm going to get him back on next week. So hopefully we can redo that interview for you. One of the things that I wanted to talk about in the market update that I think is probably pretty good to do a segment right now is risk management. You guys know we're always talking about risk management, and I think it's especially pertinent in this market. A lot of the reasons we've already discussed, valuations are completely absurd. And I'm even more fired up about that after spending that the hour and 50 minutes with TC talking about Tesla. Because we went over several different scenarios of different companies during this cycle that are completely nuts. For those of you that don't know, the name Tesla came from an understudy of Thomas Edison by the name of Nikola Tesla. A brilliant guy, really pushed. There's actually a movie about him called Current Wars. And then there was The Men Who Built America did a special on Edison and Tesla, which I actually thought was better than the movie Current Wars. But, you know, interesting guy. He's really the guy that pushed AC power, alternating current power. And I thought it was always kind of a clever name for a electric car company. Now, another company that is going to be a competitor to Tesla has come out, and their name is Nikola, which happened to be the first name of Tesla. And they now have run up to like a $25 billion company. This is a company that's never actually had a dime of revenue. They apparently have contracted sales. They've never had a dime of revenue. And now they're trading at a $20 to $25 billion market cap, or basically at the same valuation of Ford. I'm not alleging these guys are a fraud. I haven't dug into them. I'm just telling you, this is how unhinged this entire environment is. And the sad thing is, I know there's a lot of detractors out there listening to, oh, Zach, you've been calling things overvalued for, well, you know what? Yeah, I have. But let's do a quick history lesson here. The S&P is relatively at the exact same value it was at the beginning of 2018. It's like 10% higher or something like that. So I didn't think that we would stay this insane this long, especially considering a pandemic. But we have. And we go, oh, Zach, you, well, yeah, I've had issues with valuations and completely ridiculous corporate governance and unsustainable levels of corporate debt that are climbing. This will be the first recession in U.S. history where corporate debt climbed. And watching the amount of people that believe it, because what you realize after a long period of time is even professionals, even the Jim Cramers of the world, who I think is a more ridiculous show for the stock market every single day I listen to him, all they care about is price. All they care about is what's happening today. They worship. They do what we call they worship at this church of what's working now, with zero foresight. And it's just incredible in this environment that they get up and they and these market shills get up in there and they try to make rationalizations rather than just looking at you and saying, yeah, this makes absolutely no bloody sense. And like I said, the sad part of it, I think the thing that is most concerning to me is that knowing that the average retail investor is going to buy into it because price is truth, right? Price is reality. Well, you said that the price has gone up. Nah, they haven't. Not really. Prices are flat over the last 2 years. Record high valuations in the middle of the pandemic. But the reason I bring this up, one of the reasons I want to get into this to you is because we're seeing this frequently. I wouldn't say a lot. But a lot of you might have large stock positions that you've owned for a really long period of time. We had a client recently that came in with about $1 million of Microsoft stock that he's owned forever. Got emotional attachment to it, doesn't want to get rid of it. So what we did together, again, in our risk management strategy, that's part of his retirement portfolio. He didn't want to sell it. He wants to sell parts of it off slowly so he doesn't take a huge cap gains hit. So what we're going to do is we're going to sell off about 1/5 of his position, and we're going to use options to safeguard the rest of the position, meaning that we're going to build an option strategy around the remaining stock that he has left that doesn't enable him to lose any more than 20%. If the stock drops below 20%, that option position will actually begin to climb, and he will begin to recover what he's lost. So we can look at him confidently and say, look, you don't need to take all those cap gains hit in your first year of retirement, pay a big cat tax bill. You don't need to unload the whole thing. But when you see Microsoft trading at valuation levels that it hasn't seen in 20 years, at all-time highs like it currently is, it's probably not a bad idea. And we put that insurance on that position for no cost. Okay, these are some of the things that we can do to manage risk. We don't have to convert your whole thing to our portfolio. A lot of times clients come with generational stocks that they've earned from, you know, they've inherited from other people. We don't just look at you and go, hey, tough luck. You can't convert to our risk management style. Did you guys realize that? We, if you have a big stock position, we can build an option strategy that ensures you that you can't lose more than X percent. And that if it goes down to this, if it goes down X percent, you'll actually start making money on the position. We can lock in those gains. It's called risk management. It doesn't apply just to the portfolios we're using. And like I said, we can do it at no cost, guys. So for those of you out there that are concerned, and you should be, this is an insane market. And like I say, one of my biggest frustrations I get is that I know that a lot of you aren't going to wake up until you're down 30%. You just were. And you're probably applauding yourself for selling out. I'm looking at you and saying you should add a risk managed portfolio before that. Because you just saw a preview. That was a warm-up. When? Who knows? Maybe it goes on for another year and a half. All I know is that people out there that aren't worried are picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. It's a matter of time. So call us, guys. If it's an existing pile of stock you don't want to get rid of, don't let that dissuade you. We can help you keep it, and more importantly, we can insure it for no cost. Simple option strategy. It's called a straddle. We put a straddle on there and make sure you don't lose any money. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bowercapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for our free Common Sense Investing booklet that talks about our bond replacement strategy. Guys, wake up. Realize that you need to make a change. This market is completely untethered. I don't really care whether it goes up or not in the short run because it is so abundantly clear what's happening here. And I'll tell you who's going to pay the price for it. It's the retail investor, the bag holder. They always do. You're not going to get any warning from Wall Street. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Hopefully we'll get that that recording done for you guys, that interview. We'll get it back on. I think it was great. We got a lot of great content in there. We'll try to get that back on for you next week. But anyway, have a wonderful week. Happy Father's Day. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll be back next week. So don't forget to join us and sign up for the podcast. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.